You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and this Pewter Report podcast. It is a Wednesday edition of the show, but it's a Wednesday in the second week of January, and we're still talking about a preview, so that means your Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made the postseason. We're very excited to get into this matchup, a rematch from week three of the NFL season, Bucs versus Eagles, another home game for the Bucs, another one on Monday Night Football as well. So we're going to break this down. We're going to do a little roll call at 4:20.
That's right.
And, of course, get to a lot of videos and stuff from today's bonus day, I'll put in quotations. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joining with me is my fellow colleague and co-host and the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com. SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, how are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon? Are you ready for some playoff football?
I am. It's going to be a fun night on Monday night, right? I mean, Bucs-Eagles, this goes way back for me to the Tony Dungy era. You know, it's always fun to see these two teams get after it in the playoffs. And especially when the Bucs beat the Eagles, that's when it's more fun because I don't think there's a lot of people outside of Philadelphia that like Philly fan, right? And like the Eagles, so it should be a good game. And a game, too, when we had Yaya Diaby on Monday's show. Matt, you and I were talking about this. This just feels like the Bucs are catching the Eagles at the right time, right? And it's an Eagles team that is banged up. And the injury report, when it comes out, which it should come out during this show, that is, to me, going to be the big news of the day. And who is playing, who is not playing, who is playing injured, that's really going to tell the tale because the injuries have mounted in Philadelphia. The biggest one in Tampa Bay affects their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. We heard from Baker today. Talk about that. And so maybe we'll start the show by going right to Baker and what he had to say about his health and how he's enjoying having this extra time to not only prepare for the Eagles, but to get healthy.
Yeah, here's Baker Mayfield.
The proverbial, how do you feel? What's bothering you right now?
Got a little ankle injury pretty early in the game. But one of those things is the week goes on, feel better and better. Get some good rehab and work done on it and just see how it goes. But luckily, you know, the blessing is we play on Monday night, so an extra day of rest and recovery for me.
You've had a lot of nagging injuries this year, nothing super serious, but how do you kind of rehab? Do you have any routines that you'd like to go through, anything unorthodox?
I've had the same bodywork guy for 6 years now. Comes in every week, does what we need. He knows my body better than I do. He's a stud, so I call him my wizard. He knows what to do, so gets me ready for each week and wouldn't have been able to survive without him. So that's the big routine thing that I do, and he's on a great same page. Bobby, our head trainer here, so got a good plan going into it.
For any of that stuff, acupuncture, any weird stuff?
A little acupuncture, hyperbaric's a little different, but I've used it before, but I don't have one here.
Are the ribs?
Recovering slowly. Didn't take any, you know, impactful shots, but like we said last week, just eat with each day, it gets better and better.
It's a shame that the late, great Mr. Miyagi has passed. Otherwise, you know, use a little bit of that Karate Kid magic and mojo to heal Baker's ribs and his ankle. But I think that's some good news, right? I mean, it certainly sounded like it was trending in the right direction. And remember, Baker Mayfield did injure that ankle in the first quarter of the game, and played the rest of it, right? We didn't even see Kyle Trask outside of maybe throwing some passes on the sidelines to get warmed up. He didn't make an appearance. Baker went wire to wire in that game. I think it bodes well for him on Monday night.
Yeah, and for those that were wondering about practice today, Baker wasn't even out there, really. It was just Kyle Trask and John Wolford. But this was a bonus day. I will say it is nice that Baker Mayfield has a wizard on his staff, as he said. That's pretty cool. I'm sure Mike Evans will be a fan of that, too. It's tough now that it's two injuries, right? Yeah. It's not just as if the ribs wasn't enough.
Right.
And I kind of forgot about that ankle injury as the game went on. And, but the ankle injury, I'm not exactly sure if it's the same one, but he did injure his ankle against Indianapolis in that game. So it's something that he's had to deal with before. And even seeing him in the locker room from time to time, he's not always in the locker room when we're there, because we obviously speak to him up at the podium. But he has had that ankle tape before, like both at practice. So I'm curious with some of the throws that he really missed more than he made, how much was that the ankle being able to push and plant?
Yes.
Things of that nature versus the ribs injury. Because initially I just went to the rib injury, but that ankle footwork, we talk about all the time, and coaches talk about all the time, how important that footwork is. For Baker to say he didn't take too many difficult shots in that game, I mean, I can't speak for him. He experienced it, but he got hit pretty hard in that game against the Panthers. Like, he got taken down a fair amount of times. He was sacked numerous times. Again, I can't speak for Baker. I'm not going to tell him what to think, but just from watching the game, Baker got hit a fair amount of times. He tried to truck over people to get a first down, which he did. He's a physical player, so maybe his idea of taking a shot is different than the normal.
Well, you know, he got folded up like an accordion one time.
Yes,
with Derek Brown, but I he didn't take the exposed rib shot, right, where he's in the throwing motion, the ribs are exposed, you know, and he's going up like this, and he's taking that shot like right here in the ribs, and then he didn't get slammed to the turf either. When he got tackled, like that one time he got tackled, his ankle was underneath him. That's what hurt the ankle, was getting kind of rolled up on. But at no point was he ever like bashed to the ground and driven into the ground. So I think that probably is better that he didn't take that kill shot, if you will, to the ribs. Now, again, they're still sore, probably a little bit less sore now, a couple of days after playing in the game. But again, having not just the extra day, but the Bucs could have played on Saturday, right? I mean, that could have been an option. So they're having a day or two now of extra rest and recovery and preparation for the Eagles. And I'm really interested to see how the Bucs respond, because we talked about it on Monday's show. It bears a slight repeating by me, I think. You look at when they played the Falcons the first time, didn't score a lot of points. Dave Canales went to a bunch of new stuff because what he did against the Falcons the first time around didn't work. They scored 27 out of the 29 points against Atlanta, right, in that game. They put up 26 points the first game against the Saints and 21 points the first game against the Panthers. Then when they had the rematch against those NFC South foes, 13 points against the Saints, 9 points against the Panthers, probably leaning on too much of what they did in that first game, right? Well, the good news for Tampa Bay, if that scenario continues to hold serve, they only scored 11 points, Matt, against the Eagles in week 3. Only had 174 yards of total offense. The Eagles had 472. The Eagles held the ball for about 18 more minutes than Tampa Bay did because of that running game. So the good news is Dave Canales, when he's watching that film back, there's not a lot that worked that he can draw from. So he's got to come up with something brand new. And let's just hope that whatever he comes up with, Matt, is more like what we saw in Green Bay or at home on Christmas Eve against Jacksonville, where they can really take advantage of the Eagles scoring defense, which ranks 30th in the league, averaging or allowing almost 26 points per game.
I hope Dave Canales takes the news that just dropped recently that his former head coach, Pete Carroll, will no longer be.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that he might just go into the front office. But I hope he takes a little anger from that and uses it as fuel to call his best game of against the Philadelphia Eagles. Because I definitely do have my concerns about the Bucs offense orchestrating in the proper way. And I've said this before, there is a version of the Bucs that can beat the Eagles.
I agree.
Dallas has to be in his bag. I don't know how he gets to it, but however he finds the groove or the right buttons that he found in that Jaguars game, in that game against the Green Bay Packers. And I do think the Eagles is way more susceptible on defense, kind of like how the Packers were at a time. And I guess the Jaguars too, they just fired Mike Caldwell, their defensive coordinator. There is a defense to be taken advantage of against with the Eagles defense. Obviously that interior defensive line is
about.
But if you're a Bucs fan, you got to be worried going into this game. I mean, they have scored two touchdowns, but they've only scored in one out of their last eight quarters. They scored in the fourth quarter against the Saints 2 weeks ago. And, I mean, they barely even sniffed the end. They did not reach the end zone, but they didn't even come close to getting to the end zone against the Carolina Panthers. And say that J.C. Horn had a good game against following some receivers. You can say Baker was injured. Well, that doesn't really matter. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for the Bucs if they can't score a touchdown
against
the Eagles. Like, that's not a good enough excuse, you know? What about the Cleveland Browns? The Browns have injuries to every important position on their team, including quarterback, and they're able to still look like one of the best teams in the league. So I would definitely be worried if on the Bucs, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And Baker's talked about that today, just kind of his up and down play. And I asked him, what is missing or what has been missing from those last two games that really needs to be present and apparent when they go up against the Eagles? And this was his response.
What do you think's been missing over the last 2 weeks on offense that you want to see for Monday night?
We just got to, like I said earlier, I got to take the easy completions early on, keep ahead of the chains, get us going. And just, you know, between the Saints game and the Carolina game, their fronts are really good against the rush. You know, we ran the ball when we needed to with 6 minutes left in the game. So that's big time. But just got to get going early and start fast to where we can mix up our different plays.
The level of trust you developed with these guys.
Absolutely. Not just offensively, but defensively as well. Knowing what we have there and also trusting in Chase McLaughlin. So just knowing the pieces we have, knowing that you don't have to do anything special. Do your job at the highest level you can. You don't have to be Superman, and the rest will take care of itself. So luckily we got bailed out by the defense and special teams. But it's time for us to carry our weight and improve. And what better time than now in the playoffs?
And then the last couple of weeks, you know, not so much on offense in terms of scoring touchdowns. So you've been injured. That's been part of the story, right? It's not all on the quarterback. But what do you think the kind of up and down sort of trend has been?
A lot of it starts with me. I'll be honest, taking the easy completions, taking the things that are there to put us in position to where Dave can call the plays that he wants to. And so just overall execution when it comes to the little fundamental things that we were doing really well for a couple weeks in a row, just getting back to that and making sure we're doing those right and helping our defense out, letting them get a little bit more break on the sideline and go from there.
Yeah, you look at that guy right there, right? Chase McLaughlin. He has been an absolute stud. Josh Capo from Peter Report had a great article about McLaughlin's success, and he accounted for all 9 points in Carolina. And he said a Bucs single season record for kicking percentage, field goal percentage this year. And, you know, he is near the top of the list in terms of guys that Jason Light, Mike Greenberg want to re-sign. And the thing is, you'd love to see McLaughlin on Monday night, but Matt, it's got to be for extra points because touchdowns have to be able to be on the board to beat the Eagles. The other thing too is Jake Camarda. This is a guy that has struggled the last couple of games, and we asked Todd Bowles about him on Monday. Is he playing through an injury that he's not an injury report? And he says, no, he just got to kick better. And so
that's the closest Todd Bowles has come to like calling out someone.
Right. Exactly. And Matt, I mean, when you look at Jake Camarda, this is a guy that when he's on can flip field position, can pin opponents back deep and lead to that, there was a safety, right. In Atlanta that was due to a punt that was pinned down there, I believe. So there's a lot of special teams concerns a little bit. The only time you want to see Chase McLaughlin maybe kick a field goal is if it's a game winner, right? At the end of the Monday night game, touchdowns are going to win the game against the Eagles, and Jake Kamada has got to be on, because it's going to be hard enough to move the ball, I think, against Philadelphia's defense. And if you can pin them back, right, and then play good defense, and then, you know, receive the punt from Philly where you're starting at your own 40 or maybe midfield, that's a hell of a lot better than having to drive 80 or 90 yards against Eagles defense to try to get a touchdown on the board.
Oh, of course. And I would imagine that McLaughlin's over-under on his field goals would probably be 1.5. If you're a Bucs fan, if you're going to take the over on that, you better hope it's just 2 and that's it. Because not only can they not settle for field goals, but they have to go at least 80% in the red zone. Because you want to talk about this losing streak for the Eagles. They've lost 5 of their 6, and that's absolutely the case. But in their losses, and some of this has been some special teams issues for the Eagles as well, but that to start that losing 5 of 6, obviously everyone saw them get smoked against the 49ers. Yep. They allowed 42 points, 33 to Dallas, 20 to Seattle. That was the low number. They allowed 25 to the Giants and Tommy DeVito. 35 to the Arizona Cardinals, who are better with Kyler Murray, no question about it. And then 27 points last week against the Giants again, but this time with Tyrod Taylor. There is a clear weakness on the Eagles right now, and it ain't their offense, even though their offense is hobbled with Jalen Hurts, who looks like he's going to play. I mean, we talked about Baker.
Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
DeAndre Swift. Devontae Smith, Cam Jurgens, who got poked in the eye. I mean, there's a lot of starters that either missed last week's game or were injured in it. And so, I'm with you. And the other thing too, Matt, that's different is Sean Desai was the defensive coordinator, and he knew Dave Canales from their time together in Seattle a year ago. But now it's Matt Patricia running the defense. And ever since he took over, it's gone down south quickly.
And it's very odd with that for a couple of reasons. First of all, poor Matt Patricia. He goes from, great job as essentially the D coordinator to the Patriots.
Right.
Didn't work out as head coach for the Lions. Okay, that's a pretty tough job. And I think it's more commendable to what Dan Campbell's doing now.
Yep.
He comes back to the Patriots to be their offensive coordinator, which made absolutely no sense.
Right.
He goes to the Eagles this year, and sure, you get this opportunity to be the defensive coordinator now after the Eagles moved some things around, but he's not calling his defense. He's calling the Eagles' defense, where Matt Patricia's idea of a defense and what he ran with the Patriots is different than what Philadelphia has, what Philadelphia's installed throughout, last season over the summer and everything like that. Like, you're not going to come in halfway through the season and be like, all right, we're completely changing our entire defense and our entire mantra and attack mode and everything. So that's, in an odd way, kind of an advantage for the Buccaneers, that it's going to be a different looking style of an Eagles defense with Patricia at the helm of it. With that said, no one has more playoff experience than Matt Patricia. Nobody knows how to make adjustments before the game even starts and just have different looks that maybe the Bucs haven't even seen yet because from that Belichick coaching tree.
Yeah.
Will be very interesting to see it, but I still do kind of give the advantage to the Bucs in that sense if they can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it is 4:20. You know what time it is on Mondays. Typically we do this, but you know what? We didn't have time to get to roll call on Monday because we had to talk Bucs playoff news. Then we had special guest Yaya Diaby on at 4:30. So we didn't have a show yesterday, so we're pushing roll call. Where you at, Peter people? Back to today. So I'm going to go in a little bit of a rant here. And while I do that, Matt Matera, Matty Diamonds, is going to be putting up your locations of where you guys are watching or listening to the show from. And I'm going to get started right now by talking about something that is going to be critical to Tampa Bay on Monday night, and that is going to be takeaways. The Buccaneers, if you go back to week one, they have had you know, they've had a penchant for taking the ball away this year. Interceptions are up slightly. Forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, those have happened. They've done a great job protecting the ball this year. Baker Mayfield, only 10 interceptions, and we've not seen the ball on the ground a whole bunch, although we saw, four of the Bucs' turnovers in that 23-13 loss at New Orleans. Other than that, they've done a pretty remarkable job of protecting the ball, and it's a big reason why they beat the Carolina Panthers 9-0. In Carolina, if you remember in that game, Antoine Winfield Jr., who is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, well, he came up with a pretty heroic play that ended up winning the game for the Buccaneers by keeping DJ Chark out of the end zone. So go back to week one. This is a Buccaneers team that has some talent. It obviously won the NFC South, had a winning record this year at 9-8, but does not have a supremely talented roster, right? How many Pro Bowlers were there this year, Matt? One. Mike Evans. There were a couple of alternates, right? Antoine Winfield Jr. should have been a Pro Bowler. He was snubbed. So at most, you could say two Pro Bowlers. And it's pretty safe to say Evans has been the MVP of the offense. Winfield's been the MVP of the defense. Having said that, go back to week one. The Buccaneers beat what turned out to be a decent Minnesota Vikings team. And this was a Minnesota Vikings team that was playing at home in the season opener with Kirk Cousins healthy and Justin Jefferson. And the Buccaneers won that game because they won the turnover margin 3-0. But what was the margin of victory? 3 points. That's how close the Buccaneers have to play this to the vest when it comes to turnover margin. And if you give the 2020 or 2021 Buccaneers team with Tom Brady and all the weapons they had and the Pro Bowlers they had, etc., if you give that team a 3-0 turnover margin, it's probably going to be a double-digit victory. It's probably going to be by 14 or 17 points, right? That's just how prolific and good those teams were. This year's Buccaneer team doesn't have that margin for error. Go back to the Monday night game in week three against the Eagles. Both teams had one turnover apiece. The advantage went to the Eagles, the more talented team. They won that game 25-11. And again, the Buccaneers just beat the worst team in the NFL 9-0 with everything on the line for Tampa Bay by only 9 points, by only 3 field goals. We have to remember there was a touchdown taken off the board.
Yep.
By a penalty on Carolina that could have made that 9-7. So that just goes to show you from week one, when they had a 3-0 turnover margin, and week 18, where they had a 2-0 turnover margin, the Buccaneers don't win by a whole bunch when they have a turnover margin advantage. But that's what they need.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Need to get wins, because when it's even, they still lose. Exhibit A. Week 3, 25-11 to Philadelphia, and certainly, Matt, in week 17, when they were down 4-0 in the turnover margin category, they got shellacked, and they were down 20-0 before getting 13 points late in the fourth quarter to make the final score 23-13. So I know it sounds trite. I know it's obvious, but more so than ever, the Buccaneers, I think, are going to have to win the turnover margin by at least 3-1. 2-0, 4-2, whatever it is, by at least 2 to put themselves in a position to win.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. I mean, across the board, you look at the wins that the Bucs have had. Most of them have been close, with the exception of what I'll say is their best two games of the season. And we've said it before, but whatever. Their win against the Saints earlier in New Orleans in the beginning of the season, and then what they did to the Jaguars a couple of weeks ago when they defeated Jacksonville in a great game on Christmas Eve. So And it's not even because of like how the Bucks have played lately or what the Eagles have done. That's just the nature of playoff football. It's
right.
Very rare that you see major, major blowouts. The last one that like truly comes to mind, and yeah, sure, the Bucks got smoked against the Cowboys last year. Mm-hmm. But first one that popped in my head, it was that Bills-Patriots game from a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
The last time Belichick went to the playoffs. And that was a complete just massacre of a game. But anyway, I say that because I do think that the Bucs are going to be in a bit of a dogfight throughout this game. And the Bucs have had their moments on offense when they've really thrived. Obviously, it didn't work well in the end against the Texans, but that offense obviously put up points. And then the Jacksonville game and late against the Falcons and kind of the more recent game, the Packers game as well. They have that dog in them to score the 30 yes. points. I just don't see it happening this weekend against the Eagles. So does that mean that they're absolutely going to lose? No, because the great equalizer, shout out to Denzel Washington, the
yes.
big equalizer for the Bucs has been their ability to take the football away. They are one of the best teams in the NFL this year in turnover differential and turnover margin. I believe they're a top five, if not at least like top seven in the league. So they really do a good job of that. And they have capitalized for the most part when they do take the football away. That's why it's very, very boom or bust. Now, can they take the ball away from Jalen Hurts? He's been prone to make some silly decisions. I mean, the interception that Devin White had against the Eagles all the way back in week three,
yeah.
that was just a bad decision by Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
When the Eagles were still flying high, when they had their first loss of the season, it came against the New York Jets in New York. They turned the ball over a ton on Jalen Hurts just from yep. wacky pressures and pressure in his face and forcing him to throw. So we know the Todd Bowles blitzes. Are Todd's blitzes going to be able to affect Jalen Hurts and whatever That's right. wide receiver is available? Because Todd can give some odd looks, and I'm willing to bet Todd has some defensive blitzes, some things that he hasn't even shown yet because he wants to save it for the playoffs. Jalen Hurts can make some mistakes. He's a great quarterback. Do not get me wrong. But he's not perfect. No quarterback is. And I do think there will be some opportunities to create those interceptions. You know what it comes down to, Scott? Carlton Davis, the last game. There was two balls Carlton should have had.
Catch the ball. Yep.
We said it with Jamel Dean. It's even happened to Antoine Winfield Jr. And Antoine Winfield Jr. is the closest thing to perfect as a defensive back can be. But the Bucs have had their opportunities in multiple games, and they have taken the ball away. A lot of the times it's been a forced fumble by Antoine. I think when you get to the playoffs, forced fumbles are even more difficult than they already are. So I think it has to be an interception. And they're going to get one or two chances against the Eagles. Will they capitalize is the big question. I guess you would hope that they throw it to Antoine instead of Carlton Davis.
Yes, please.
Their moment.
And you're right, Matt. You're actually spot on. You said that the Bucs are the top five. There's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's actually 8 teams ahead of Tampa Bay that have a better turnover differential, but some of those teams are tied. So the Buccaneers are +8, and that is actually the fourth best number in terms of the entire league. So Ravens and Giants lead the league with +12. Saints and Steelers are next with +11. Bengals, Cowboys, Texans, and 49ers are all tied with +10. Then you have Tampa Bay at +8. So they are technically a top five team. As for the Eagles, they're a bottom five team, -10 in terms of the turnover differential. So again, I know that it's easy to sit there and point to a couple of key statistics and indicators, run the ball to win, don't turn the ball over. But sometimes it is that simple and it is that basic. The Buccaneers, if they can have success stopping the run, if they can run the ball, I'm not saying they have to flip the script necessarily and have a +18-minute time of possession advantage like Philadelphia had, which was ridiculous. But if that happens, guess what? They're going to win the game. I mean, that's all there is to
it. With leads. I know they blew one against Atlanta, but they were able to regain it, and they blew the lead again. They blew the lead against the Texans, but that wasn't on the offense. The offense typically has done a solid job with when they have that lead, building the time of possession and kind of suffocating the opponent that they're playing. Yeah, let's get through a couple super chats. First, want to give a shout out to everybody from Roll Call today. So
let's do it.
A couple people. Sean Drippin Buck Brown from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's a little bit of the, you know, the other territory where people from Pennsylvania might be rooting for the Phillies, but a buck in that area. Troopa City, watching from Sarasota, Florida. Robert Samuel Hall from Gaffney, South Carolina. Siege Outdoors from Canada, Bruce County, Ontario, Canada. Andres Rios from Sacktown, Sacramento, California. Angelina S. watching from Tampa, Florida. JBCDs watching from Queens, New York, home of Christian Isium and Nas.
There you go.
Nas, okay. And 50 Cent. Jacob Ward from Tampa. Buckman 850 from Pensacola, Florida. Tammy Lay watching from Birmingham, Alabama. And last but not least, Higgins Hockey from Meriden, Connecticut. Appreciate everybody that was involved in Roll Call today. Fantastic turnout again. Can't thank you guys enough. Can't thank you guys enough either for these super chats. We'll get to a couple before we keep the show rolling. Lucas Pettis with the $1.99 super chat. Do you think they should start Joe Tryon-Shoyinka over Shaq Barrett?
No, I mean, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka has done a really good job, I think, coming off the bench.
Yes.
And being a rotational guy. I think he's actually kind of thriving in that role. He's gotten better as a run defender. But Shaq Barrett is, for his size especially, is one of the better run defenders there is. And he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. And I'm not saying the JTS is, but going up against Lane Johnson, that's a challenge. And maybe you might see more of Diaby on that side going up against Lane Johnson because that is such a big physical matchup. Although on the other side, though, at left tackle, you've got Jordan Malaita, who is an absolute monster in terms of his size, 6'8", 365.
He's from, like, New Zealand or Australia. I think he's from New Zealand or something like that. So he's got that cool accent, too.
Right. So you may not want to have Shaq on his side either because he's just – he'll engulf him and swallow him. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how Todd Bowles, how George Edwards, the outside linebackers coach, how Casey Rogers, the front seven coach, is going to deploy – those defensive ends. You might see more Anthony Nelson this game because he's a bigger, longer guy. You know, it might be more Yaya Diaby and Anthony Nelson than it is JTS and Shaq Barrett. We'll see how it all plays out. But I think that is one thing that Todd Bowles, he can go back and look at that game film from week three and say, we can't do this again for sure. So we got to come up with something new, just like Dave Canales. Nothing worked. Fine. We can't do what we did back in week three. We got to come up with something new.
Yeah, I mean, that's one knock on Shaq, even when he was in his prime, is that he doesn't always thrive against the bigger size offensive tackles. Now,
the Ryan Ramcheks, the Havensteins out there with the Rams, you know.
And if you recall, obviously they played the Eagles earlier this season, but the playoff game from two seasons ago, what was the big play from Shaq Barrett? He made an interception.
Yeah.
He was dropping back in coverage. He was not on the line of scrimmage against those offensive tackles. So. And it was funny, one last thing before we go to the next super chat. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready to go to the Bucs facility for practice, I was actually thinking about, like, the Bucs next season and the future outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I like JTS as that third or fourth string outside linebacker. For everything that we dislike about JTS of being a number one pick but not proving it as a starter, that's pretty solid depth as a third string outside linebacker. So I do want to give JTS credit for that. So if they draft an edge
rusher. Huge play last week too.
If they have Yaya and they draft an edge rusher and then JTS and Anthony Nelson are your two backups, that's really good depth at outside
linebacker. I agree.
Trustin Vorbeck, thanks for the $4.99 super chat, says, you may have discussed already, but what is the status of Jalen's fingers and Brown's knee? Are they going to be out? Thank you, Peter Report, for all that you do. Thank you, Trustin.
Have we gotten the injury report yet?
I don't think we get one today because everything's pushed back.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So, this is a bonus day. So
yeah, it's technically a bonus day. From the report the other day, and Bailey Adams did a story on it as well. There's no fracture for Jalen Hurts, which is good news for the Eagles. And an X-ray, I believe, came back negative. So it's really just a lot of discomfort, and I'm not exactly sure if it's broken or just kind of sprained or whatever, but no fracture. Fractures are worse than, like, broken bones and things of that nature. And then AJ Green, was seen walking around. AJ Brown. Was seen walking around without a boot or crutches or anything like that. So clearly not 100%, but if I'm a Bucks fan, I wouldn't hold out hope that neither of them are playing. I think it's a better chance that they do.
Yeah, and I think, too, Devontae Smith's also going to play. He missed the last game with an ankle injury. So we might see the Eagles at full strength, but will they be at full strength even though they play, right? Are they going to be effective enough to go out there and run around on those ankles and throw the ball with that finger, et cetera? So it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Mark Fisher, a.k.a. Rev Fish with the $4.99 Super Chat, thank you, says, SR, between your picks on New Orleans, Carolina, and Philly, this shows how schizo we are. Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I thought they were going to beat the Saints. I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have lost to the Panthers. And I think they're going to beat the Eagles. So I have a chance to be wrong 3 weeks in a row. Let's hope my losing streak comes to an end. Have not made my official prediction yet, but this is a game they should win. They should have beaten the Saints, and I kind of penalized them for not doing it by picking the Panthers to win, because that was a game they should have won also. I was the only guy to take the L on that, thankfully. All the other Peter reporters gained a game on me and our predictions. But this is a game they should win. So I'm going to stick with they should win this game. I learned my lesson from last week. I think that they have a chance of winning this game. I think the defense is going to play better than it did back in week 3. Just can the offense get back on track, and can they put some touchdowns on the board? That's going to be the key.
I think what's so difficult, I mean, you talk about like schizo with these picks. Well, the Bucks have been schizo this season, you know, losing 6 of 7, winning 4 in a row, and then splitting their last 2, but looking kind of terrible in both of them. The issue with picking Bucks games, at least this season, is that it just takes a couple of tweaks for it to be like, ooh, this is bad, to wow, this is great. Right. And you just never know when that little tweak is going to
is going to
come in place. So
yeah, it's almost like Celsius. They just tweak it and make it Celsius Essentials. Instead of having the slim cans, they get the big cans, right? Folks, I had another Celsius orange sickle again this morning, and it was absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure if you've gotten yours yet, Matt, but I've had the Blue Crush. I've not had the Dragonberry or the Cherry Limeade yet, but I've had the Orange Sickle and the Blue Crush. They're absolutely amazing new flavors from Celsius Essentials.
Yes, the Celsius Essentials are performance energy drinks with 270 milligrams of caffeine. I'm just getting choked up thinking about it.
Yep.
There's no sugar. And they are the ultimate energy drink by Celsius, formulated for the fitness enthusiast looking to elevate their performance. They are made with the Meta Plus formula that consists of 3 essential aminos, and they provide you with the unbeatable combination of ingredients that support your physical and cognitive performance. With a specially formulated lineup of bold flavors, Celsius Essentials is a game changer for those wanting to unlock their full potential and take their fitness journey to the next level. The new Celsius Essentials can be found at 7-Elevens nationwide. You can get the 3 flavor variety pack now at Walmart, and they are rolling out nationwide at select retailers, and they're coming very soon to Amazon. So we love our Celsius Essentials, and of course, we love our original Celsius as well, whether it's the sparkling orange, the Fuji apple pear, the cola, the sparkling watermelon, lemon lime, or the Arctic vibe, my personal favorite. If you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, new or old, go to the Celsius store locator, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest location where you could find one. It could be a Walmart, Target, health and fitness store, or your bodega.
Bodega.
And if you want to start getting Celsius in bulk, you can go back to Amazon, do the subscribe and save. I'd recommend getting that variety pack, because variety is the spice of life. You'd have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain. It could be every week, month, quarterly, yearly. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks, the official energy drink of PeterReport.com.
That's right. It's good stuff, folks. Even the essentials, man. It's that extra caffeine is no joke either. I've been wired all day. It works. I'm getting a haircut after the show. Otherwise, I would probably be going to the gym with all this energy I have. So good stuff. Highly recommend.
Yeah, do it up. Let's keep these super chats rolling in. Thanks, everybody that is participating. Starting with Easy the Great. Thank you, Easy, who says, for the $5 super chat, this they say, Hurts looks hurt, parentheses knee,
yeah,
and scrambling ability looks limited. Keep him in the pocket and force him to throw. LFG Bucks, fire those effing cannons. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's always the name of the game when it comes to a mobile quarterback that, can run. I will give Hurts some credit. I do think that he can spin the ball pretty well. I mean, I'm not going to put him as top five of, you know, the best throwing quarterbacks in the league. And it also really, really helps when you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, who, if they play, are a great wide receiver combo. I mean, they get compared to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So, yes, at the ultimately, you do want to keep him in the pocket. But I think the biggest thing isn't even necessarily limiting him from running. I think it's him limiting him from extending plays. I think that's where Jalen Hurts is, like, truly at his most dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what? I would not be surprised to see Todd Bowles call more nickel blitzes, whether it's Christian Isian, whether it's corner blitzes, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, or whether it's Antoine Winfield Jr., you know, who's one of the best blitzing defensive backs in the league, if not the best. And what that does, Matt, is a couple things. It prevents the Eagles' outside running attack from getting going, right? Because you could be running right into a blitzing defender. It also, too, can help Jalen Hurts stay in the pocket, whereas someone like Kalijah Kancey, who let's not forget, did not play back in week three, was hurt.
Bingo.
Right? So this is a guy in Kalijah Kancey that I think could be instrumental in stopping the Eagles' ground game, because he's got 10 tackles for loss. What's the best way to stop a running game? Stop it before it starts. Go back and look at that Tennessee Titans game with Derrick Henry getting tackled in the backfield by Kancey, getting tackled in the backfield by Yaya Diaby. So this is a different defense, because you're going to have Diaby getting more playing time as a starter. He played 25 snaps. That was 31% of the snaps. That was the fewest of JTS, Shaq Barrett, and Anthony Nelson. Then you have Kalijah Kancey, who saw zero snaps because he was injured that game. So you're going to see two out of the front four guys up front in at least nickel, and it would be a five-man front when they're in base defense. Better versions of themselves, right? I mean, this is a Kalijah Kancey that's got 10 games under his belt now. This is a Yaya Diaby who has established himself as a starter. And by the way, yes, he had sack number 7.5 last week, but Matt, he had 6 tackles against the run. And a tackle for loss. Yeah.
I think going into this, I was doing some notes and stuff before the game. That was one of the biggest things for me, is way more Yaya from the first game. And having Kalijah Kancey for this one is so, so important to stop that run in the middle. Obviously, everyone's going to keep their fingers crossed that Devin White, you get the good Devin White, especially with stopping the run. But yeah, Kalijah Kancey can go a very long way. There are two or three people that I think are huge, huge X factors in this one, with Kancey and I think Devin White on the defensive side of the ball. I have someone in mind for the offensive side of the ball as well. And we can get to that in a little bit. But yeah, having Kalijah Kancey, I think, is so important for this matchup. Let's get to this $10 super chat from Mike Wells.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, who says, Scott and Matt, you guys are the best, putting together another solid show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Guys, if we do end up losing this game, how quickly will the decision come down on Todd, whether he goes or stays? I would think it would have to come pretty quickly, because, you know, the rat race has already started. You know, Colts did it in the season. Not the Colts, sorry. The Panthers did it in the season. The Falcons did it literally at midnight when it turned to Black Monday.
Yeah, Patriots have already fired a guy in season. Panthers as well. Same with the Chargers, right? So there's three in season. And as you mentioned, Patriots, Titans.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Patriots. There's rumors that Belichick might not be the GM and he'll just coach. But anyway, they got to figure that out. And I imagine that would take longer, because Belichick's been there for, you know, over 20 years, where Bowles is only – been the head coach for two. But I would imagine, so if they lose on Monday, I would say by the end of the week, we'd probably get an answer of whether or not Bowles is here next season.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. And, you know, here's the thing. If they win, he stays. Like, it's that simple. Win, yes. And there's no questions about your job security whatsoever. It's just, I think the Blazers are looking at this saying, is this the guy that can take us to new heights and win in the playoffs? And I think maybe one of the things that would be a little damning against Todd Bowles would be the fact that both of these games are at home, Matt, right? These are, it's not like you got to go on the road. It wasn't like Tony Dungy where he went back to back to Philadelphia in 2000 and 2001 and lost both of those games. These are two home games, right? And doesn't mean you're going to win. John Gruden lost home games in 2005 and 2007 after winning the division. The Bucks lost a home game here in the divisional playoffs against the Rams in 2021. The Bucks lost last year against the Cowboys at home. So it doesn't guarantee you anything, but it's supposed to be easier, supposed to be home field advantage when you have a home playoff game.
Yeah, that's just another thing to look at into this crazy conversation about Todd Bowles, whether or not he'll be here. Jonathan Ramatar with the $4.99 Super Chat. Thank you, Jonathan. Says, Canales trying to get Palmer going. Feels like he's been force-fed the past few weeks with Godwin used for gotta-have-it downs. Is this intentional? I don't think Trey Palmer's been – I don't think he's been force-fed by any means. I just think – and Canales will be the first one to say, like, okay, Mike and Chris are the first two options. If they're not open, who's your third option? And Palmer's been the guy that's gotten open. And sometimes they'll throw screen passes and things like that to him. I don't think he's purposely cutting into what Chris Godwin is doing. The ball just hasn't gone the way of Godwin as much lately.
I agree.
Thank you to Kyle Dugan, Dukes, for the $5 Super Chat, who says, any coaches besides Bowles and McCarthy that could get the axe with a one-and-done this postseason? LaFleur, Tomlin seems safe based on the circumstances, in my opinion. Good question.
This is a good question.
The Bills with Doug McDermott, because there's been
– Sean McDermott.
Doug McDermott's a basketball player. Yeah. I would say maybe Sean McDermott, just based on – you know, some reports about him and kind of like chaotically firing the offensive coordinator, even though...
Although it's worked.
it's worked, but just, I don't know, an odd way how it's gone about. I wouldn't be surprised if it was him. I think the Dolphins would be crazy to fire Mike McDaniel. But
I think that's going to happen.
I remember there was rumors last year. It was like, oh, like, could they fire McDaniel? I'm like, it's one season, and with all due respect to Skylar Thompson, he did not have Tua for like three-fourths of the season. McDermott would probably be my be my pick for this one.
Yeah. Huge, huge thank you. And a big super chat, a huge super chat to KS, $49.99 super chat. And here's his comment here. Big fan of the show, long time, first time. Anyways, Baker more hurt than is being reported. Big, big, big Rashad White game. Rain is forecasted. Hurts might have trouble with the grip. That's interesting that you say that about the grip, because the Buccaneers, they have some experience playing in some rain games now. If you remember, it did rain on Monday night against the Eagles for a little bit, but then it rained a lot against the Carolina Panthers in the first half of that game. So not saying that it gives the Buccaneers an advantage per se, but at least they have some experience calling the game, playing the game on offense and defense in a downpour, in the rain, et cetera. So we do live in the state of Florida. Yes. As of Wednesday, there is a 45% chance for rain. And when it does say it's going to rain, it's going to start raining at 7 o'clock, and there's a chance of rain all the way through the game. Now, what's the famous saying in Florida? If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes because it'll change. So who knows? We'll have a better idea as it goes along. But we're going to have a podcast tomorrow at 4 o'clock like we usually do. The next podcast won't be, because the game is on Monday, until our pregame podcast during Peter Game Day, as well as our postgame podcast. So we won't have an update on a podcast outside of maybe tomorrow if we can give a weather update. But we certainly will have some information posted on our social media platforms, especially X.
Yeah, and thanks again to KS for the very kind super chat. Just to answer some more of this, I don't think Baker's really trying to what's the right word? Like be a mirage for yeah. what his injuries are. Like he's pretty banged up now. He says, "Oh, I'm good. Like I'm feeling better." You know, he's not saying like, "Oh, when I go home, I could barely sit down because of my ribs and my ankle."
Right.
I'm sure he's in a ton of pain, but he's not going to say that up at the screen or up at the podium for us to all put on our social media and stuff. But to your point about Rashad White, he's my other guy that's an X factor in this game.
Yeah.
I watched a good amount of Eagles Giants. I plan on watching it again. Where the Giants absolutely ripped apart the Eagles was with Saquon Barkley, but yeah. in multiple various ways. It was not just Saquon broke, you know, 480-yard runs or whatever it is. Saquon had a big reception down the sideline. Saquon got pitched the ball to the outside. So really,
yeah.
the running backs on the edge, I think, are going to be super important. What the Bucs have been missing, I think, the past two games that they were so great at the weeks before is the effectiveness of Rashad White as a receiver. For whatever reason, I think they kind of went away from that last game. And I think part of that is Rashad White's pretty banged up. Like, yes, yeah. he's playing. He's good to go. And if you're in, you're all set. But I think getting back to that passing game and even having Rashad White run more routes, not necessarily like wait at the line of scrimmage and get the screen pass and then mm-hmm. get going. Like, remember the touchdown he scored against the Packers
yep.
when he ran over the middle? I think some more stuff like
just
that.
Vertical route. I agree.
Yeah, or maybe something to the boundaries. I think that would be really big in this game. And just getting Rashad White to the outside in space, even in the run game. Don't wait just to pass it there.
Yep.
Run it to the outside too. And I think Chase Edmonds is going to be big as well because I don't think Rashad is 100%. So you get Chase Edmonds in that game, quick to the hole, quick burst, I think he could be important too.
Hey, listen, if you want to play some prop bets on what you think Rashad White's going to do, or maybe you like the Bucks money line, the fact that they're underdogs, or you want to take the points, well, go to MyBookie, the official online gaming website of Pewter Report. And place your bets. Gear up, sports fans. The national championship was just here, and the NFL playoffs are here. And it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't just watch. Score big with exclusive boosted odds and huge prize contests that will have you feeling the big game fever before it even hits. Whether you're a seasoned pro or ready to roll for the first time, MyBookie is your ticket to turning your sports knowledge into cold, hard cash. MyBookie has the largest online lineup of odds, contests, and Vegas-style casino games, making it your ultimate destination for all types of fun, 24/7, right at your fingertips. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in on the action, the wait is over. Make your winning move today and sign up at MyBookie. Here's what you need to do. Use the promo code Pewter to claim your deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000. Use the promo code Pewter for an opportunity to boost your betting power. Experience the thrill of sports betting right from the comfort of your own home with the website, with the app, because MyBookie, you can bet anything, anywhere, anytime. Join MyBookie, like Matt and I have today, and become part of the winning team and use that promo code Pewter to get yourself a bonus up to $1,000.
Keep these super chats rolling. Thanks to Khalif Young for the $4.99 super chat, who says, Dave Canales' play calling seems to tighten up when he gets into the red zone instead of attacking the end zone.
I agree.
He runs a lot of east and west plays. I think spot on. He gets yep. he really gets conservative in the red zone, and I don't totally understand why. And I agree. Like, I want east and west from the 20 to the 20. Then you got to go
yes.
you got to go forward when you're in the red zone. So I'm with that for sure.
I'm with you, yep. Nice comment here from A. Ruiz. Listening to Yaya yesterday gives me the confidence he will be a valuable vocal, hold guys accountable leader down the road. And I think that's the case. And he's one of those guys that really has the opportunity, I think, to lead by example to begin with, like we've seen with Antoine Winfield Jr., and then step up and become a vocal leader along the likes of a Tristan Wirfs, as we've seen him become that role, and even Levante David for sure. Nathan Marone, hey Scott, I know you said moving on from Bowles depends on who's available. With some big names become available, could that influence some things? It might. I don't know. I think we just need to let this game play out and see what happens. Again, if they win, Bowles is not going anywhere, nor should yeah. he. But if they lose, Then it's the Blazers' decision, right? To look what's behind door number two and Jason Light and say, is there an upgrade potential out there? They did that back in 2002 between Tony Dungy to John Gruden, and it worked out. They tried that going from Greg Schiano, who had four wins in 2013, to Lovie Smith in 2014. It did not work out. They went from four wins to two wins. That's not the direction that the team wants to go in for sure.
I got a super chat from Eric Moreno. Thank you, Eric, for the $5 super chat. He says, are you guys sure Baker will play Monday night? How close will he be to 100%? I'm 99% sure Baker is going to end up playing in this game. That's who Baker Mayfield is. He could always have a setback, but I'm very, very sure Baker's going to play. Is he 100%? Definitely not.
Right.
I'm not going to put a percentage on what he is, but definitely not 100%.
Yep.
And thanks, Eric, for the $2 super chat. It's just bought another Antoine Winfield rookie autograph. Very cool. I'm sure that'll be very expensive one day whenever he decides to hang it up.
That's right. Caleb Bartlett with the $1.99 super chat. Thank you. What's up with odd and out wide in the Saints game? Sometimes offensive coordinators will flank the running back out or flex the tight end out wide. And sometimes that's to draw a linebacker out there, right? To manipulate the middle of the field a little bit. Maybe for Otten, it's to kick him out wide, drag a linebacker out there. And then that's one less linebacker Rashad White has to run through or run around in the box. Or if you're going to flex, say, Rashad White out wide as a wide receiver and go empty, that, again, takes a safety or a linebacker out of the middle of the field. And maybe you're throwing the ball to, say, Chris Godwin in the slot, and that allows him to a little bit more space to maneuver without one linebacker or safety in the box as well. So sometimes it's just manipulation purposes to kind of create a little bit more of an opening in the middle of the field, either for a run or a pass.
Thanks to Scotty J for the $4.99 super chat, who says, trust Matty Diamonds. He makes me money. Not going to comment on political stuff, but thanks for the first part of that that sentence. Yeah, I have as much fun when you guys win as I win. So very much looking forward to making some prop bets for this Monday's game. Going to have a little bit more time to think about it, but you'll see it on Peter Picks and Props. You'll see it on I'll tweet it out like right before the game too. And yeah, let's all win more in 2024.
Well, if you're looking for a house or you're looking to sell your house in 2024, the one name that you need to know, folks, is Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group. Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, well, they're the official realtor of Peter Report. And the reason why is because they are the Pro Bowls. Pro Bowlers. They are the all pros. They're not going to get snubbed. They know what it takes to sell and buy houses in this crazy real estate market. They have experience in all sorts of situations. Eric and his team have done hundreds of transactions, and that's the type of experience that you want on your team. Eric is an avid Pewter Report reader. He's a Tampa native. His dad was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. So if you want somebody that knows this area like the back of his hand, or even across the state of Florida, Eric is your guy. He and his team have the market knowledge, the top-notch communication, the commitment to excellent service. That's what sets them apart. With their strong team of vendors and a network of over 85,000 agents as part of the eXp Realty Group, the Eric Gross Group will turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. All you have to do is go to their website, housesinfla.com, housesinfla.com. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group, and give Eric a call. He wants to hear from you, 513-907-4271. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
And, of course, we got the Pewter Game Day show coming up this Monday. We'll have the live pregame show around 7:15, and then when the game goes live an hour later, I'll have my live opinions, reactions, all that fun stuff going on. Always a great time. Great turnout last week with the Panthers, expecting an even better one because it's the playoffs for Bucks versus Eagles. So that'll be right on our YouTube channel. Before we close out the show, we'd be remiss if we did not talk about Antoine Winfield Jr. a little bit. We got a lot of videos. We'll end up playing some on tomorrow's podcast as well at 4 o'clock. But Antoine Winfield Jr. spoke. He had the title belt that he got from Good Morning Football as the best defensive back in the league. This is what he had to say about Getting snubbed from the Pro Bowl. It's the first time that we've physically heard from him since all that stuff went down.
Yeah, coming out in your defense big time.
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't control that. The only thing I can control is what I do on the field.
Why do you think that people are just kind of overlooking what you're doing this year?
I'm not sure. I have no clue.
It's about you.
I mean, I know what I do. I know what I'm capable of. I know the work that I put in. So at the end of the day, I think that's the only thing that really matters.
Because, yeah, I mean, you've put up stats that haven't happened
in
20-something years.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I bring to the table. So that's, I'm happy.
How good did it feel to get so much response from around the country, whether it was players, media, everybody saying that you're the best safety in the NFL?
It's cool to see. Cool to see my name out there. You know, like I said before, you know, I'm happy with my stats. I'm happy where I'm at. You know, I can only control what I do on the field. And then after that, you know, everybody can have their own opinions, but I just know what I bring to the table.
And there was Winfield rocking it as well. You could see it on our social medias and everything like that. By the way, if you want to follow us on our social media, you could see it on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads over at Pewter Report. And then our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV, where we have the podcast. Various clips from press conferences, great guests like Yaya Diaby. Yeah. By the way, we have a separate video from that interview. We got the whole podcast, and then if you want to just watch the interview with Yaya, we have that on our YouTube channel as well. So another awesome show today. Yeah. We're going to try to top it again tomorrow at 4
Folks,
o'clock.
We're 92 subscribers
away. Yeah,
from 13,000. Help us like try to get our channel.
Yeah, please. Like, subscribe, comment. Let's try to do that before the game on Monday. Yep. So until tomorrow, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.